This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. A couple of notes before we get to our stories this week. First off, being you've probably noticed, past episodes of this podcast and all of the others have not been available since Thursday night or Friday. The service I use to host the shows has been down since then, and until that's back up, past episodes won't be available, but I'm still posting the new ones. Thanks for your patience on that. Additionally, I've started posting new episodes on Spotify. You can find a link to that in the show notes, or search for Relic Radio Network on Spotify. There's other people using the Relic Radio name. I have nothing to do with them, and there's probably little I can do to have them removed. But either way, Relic Radio Network on Spotify, or click on the link in the show notes. Hope you find it useful. And now for today's stories, we're going to start off with Rocky Jordan and hear Smokescreen from January 8th of 1950. After that, it's The Zero Hour and Larceny on the Lake. That story aired July 4th, 1974.
Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with a babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan and this week's story, Smokescreen.
It was the other side of midnight, and I was beginning to think I'd spent one of those routine days I could forget. That just goes to show how wrong you can be. The customers and the help had gone, and I walked over to the front door to let a little air in before I locked up for the night. I got the air all right, but I also got something I wasn't counting on.
Mrs. Jordan.
She moved in out of the shadows like she'd been waiting there. She was inside like a magazine salesman. But she didn't look the part. She was small and dark, but all woman, with eyes a little too big for her face.
Monsieur Jordan, you do not remember me?
Well, give me time. It'll come to me.
I was a manicurist.
Oh, sure, manicurist at Shepherd's.
Oui.
Adele, wasn't it?
Adele Simonon. Monsieur Jordan, I had to see you.
And the light's better in the daytime.
No, this had to be tonight. I'm asking you please to do something for me. It will not be difficult.
Who ever heard that before? I'd like to help Miss Simonon, but it makes a long day.
I will pay you if that concerns you so much. I ask no favors. Well?
I can answer better if I know what it's about.
Oh, thank you, Monsieur Jordan. Wait here for the moment.
She moved out the door again and walked a few steps to a shadow near the corner. Then they were both coming back. The shadow was a man, much older and grayed. I wasn't sure about the pallor in his face, but the look in his eyes meant something. I'd seen fear before too many times.
Monsieur Jordan, this is my father, André Simonon.
Hello, Simonon.
Monsieur Jordan, I must explain that what we ask is my daughter's wish.
Please, Papa, it is settled. There is no other way.
Well, maybe I'm the one to decide that. What's this all about, anyhow?
It is little to ask, Mr. Jordan. We wish only that the Café Tambourine remain open for us tonight, that we be permitted to stay here.
Oh, I get it. Big convention in town, huh? Hotels are all full.
You do not understand. We also wish that you stay here with us to watch my father.
He needs watching.
I'm trying to tell you. You have only to witness my father's presence here.
Oh, I expected something like that. Good night, Simonon. The tambourine closed 10 minutes ago.
You will not help us.
Look, I've been taken in my day, but this isn't my day. You walk in here and tell me you want a witness for Papa. Why? Because somewhere in Cairo something has happened or is going to happen. Either way, it won't be good. Because I'm supposed to pull the chestnuts out of the fire. Oh, no thanks. I burned too easy.
I told you I'd pay you.
The police work for free.
But we can't go to the police. If you'd let me explain.
Sure, I'll stop in for a manicure someday. You can tell me all about it.
You see, Adele, I was right.
And I thought you were the one person who would help. I was mistaken. Come, Papa.
Monsieur Jordan, I do not blame you. Our situation is hard to understand.
Monsieur Jordan, your answer is still no.
I don't have to spell it out, do I? Good night. She looked at me for a minute without another word. Something in her eyes made me wonder if I ought to change my mind. But I was too late. She turned and opened the door. That's when Simonov stopped in his tracks.
The cat! The cat! Adele!
Simonov, get away from that door.
Jordan, help me.
Here, let me.
Adele, mon fille. Mon petit fille.
Stay back, Simonov. Let me look at her.
Monsieur, she's...
I'm sorry, Simonov.
So... The cat.
Simonov, wait. Keep away from the door.
Do not hold me, monsieur. Let me go.
Get out there. Listen to me.
The cat.
Simonov! Come back! Simonov! I stood there trying to realize what had happened, and the answer wasn't pleasant. All they'd asked for was a little help, and I'd said no. And now Adele was lying dead at my feet, and her father had gone out of the door with a look on his face that spelled more trouble. I called Captain Sam Savaya, Cairo Police. He made it to the tambourine in a hurry, and while he examined the girl, I told him everything I knew.
Most regrettable.
Go on, Sam. Tell me I could have stopped it.
You have no reason to condemn yourself, Jordan.
I'm not so sure.
You saw nothing of the assailant?
No, but Simonov did. All he said was the cat.
So this is what we must find, the cat.
Aren't you forgetting something more important, Sam?
More important?
Andrei Simonov. I saw the way he went out of here. He's after revenge, Sam.
And who can blame him?
Don't you see? He'll cause more trouble for himself unless he can be stopped.
The duty of the police is quite clear. We are able to function only after a crime has happened.
Oh, sure, that's great. You'll throw half the Cairo police force into a hunt for the cat. But you won't spend 5 minutes trying to prevent a murder.
I tell you, my hands are tied. I'm interested in Simonov only as a material witness. We will find the murderer of his daughter, of course.
Sure, you'll find him dead.
Perhaps. Unless...
Oh, I get it, Sam. Unless I get to Simonov first. Well, that made it pretty clear. If Simonov was to be found, I had to find him. I left Sam and his boys to take care of the girl and started out into the Cairo night. I wasted 2 hours and 20 piastres asking questions to try to get a line on Simonov. No results. That left the Shepherd's Hotel where Adele worked. A sleepy night clerk gave me her address in the French Quarter across town. It was already daylight by the time I found it. I didn't expect Simonov to be there, and I was right. But I made enough noise in his door to raise a neighbor. What he told me sent me back north across town to the Bulak Shipping Company. They were just opening up, but a workman was already there scraping a name off the window. It said J. Constantine and A. Simonov. The name he was scratching off was Simonov. Inside, a red-headed secretary sat at a desk in the outer office, putting on her face for the morning customers. She kept right on with a lipstick.
Well, an early bird. Do you have an appointment?
Why? Do I need one?
Well, that depends on who you really wanted to see.
I could be satisfied right now.
Are you asking for an appointment or a phone number?
I bet you got a lot of them there in that book. Andre Simonov's maybe, huh?
Haven't you heard? He's not with us anymore.
Anything else you can tell me about him?
No, but I could try. I get an hour off for lunch.
So do I. But right now, I'll settle for J. Constantine.
He's awfully busy.
Oh, he's got a minute.
I said he's busy.
What is the meaning of this? Who are you?
My name's Jordan.
Doris, I told you I was seeing no one.
Mr. Jordan's the impetuous type, aren't you, Mr. Jordan? But be gentle with him, Juno. I might want him back.
I'll speak up. What do you want?
I hope I didn't interrupt your morning paper.
You did, but that doesn't answer my question.
I thought you might be reading about Adele Simonov.
Adele Simonov? What about Adele Simonov? I was reading about a safe robbery last night at the Nile Investment Company.
Oh, I see. Does that tie in with it?
Mr. Jordan, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, then I'll tell you. Adele Simonov was killed last night, shot down in my cafe.
What?
Yeah.
I see. Sit down, Mr. Jordan. Please sit down. This is a terrible shock.
Terrible. Andre and his daughter loved each other very much. How did this thing happen?
We don't know. I was hoping you could help.
Anything, anything, Mr. Jordan.
All right, then, let's start with why Simino's name is coming off your window.
Oh, that. He quit the business several days ago. He didn't tell you?
No. Any special reason?
Just decided he wanted out. I'm sure it has no connection.
Well, maybe the cat can tell us more about that.
The cat?
That doesn't mean anything to you?
Should it?
I don't know. But we've got to find Simino. He seemed to know who did the shooting, and he's out for revenge. To kill or get killed.
Yes, of course. Andre would think of revenge. That girl was his whole life. After the way she stuck by him through everything.
Yeah, everything.
September 39, Paris, you know. She still had faith in him, waited for him, to help him when he got out.
September 39, Paris. Got out of where?
Why, out of... Mr. Jordan. I thought you were a close friend of his.
That's right.
Obviously, you're not. But I have told you too much already. Now you can get out.
Touchy subject, Mr. Constantine.
I said get out, or I'll have you thrown out.
A half hour later, I was at the Cairo Library going through the Paris newspapers for September 1939. And it paid off. The third paper I went through carried a story of a robbery conviction. Expert safe cracking, defendant Andre Simonov. That made me think about something else Constantine had mentioned. The safe-cracking job at the Nile Investment Company just last night. Well, Sam could tell me more about that. I drove to the tambourine, parked out back, and started for my office door and the phone. I didn't quite make it.
I did not enjoy waiting, Mr. George.
Right there, my search was over. I hadn't found Simino, but I had found the cat. He looked like one and he sounded like one, and he was very much alive.
Observe me, Mr. Jordan.
I'm looking at the gun. The same one that killed Adele?
So you saw me at the window last night.
Who were the shots for, Adele or her father?
She was at the door at the wrong time.
Yeah, so they were for Simino.
And then he said many things, did he not?
Only two words. The cat.
Two words that mean death to you now.
Why were you after him? Why was he marked for killing?
I talk no more. No more, Mr. Jordan.
I felt nothing. It wasn't me, but the cat that slumped against the door. The sound of a lot of footsteps sent me whirling, in time to see a figure stuffing a gun in his pocket, dart out of the alley to the side street. Hey, stop! Come back! Come back here! I stood there looking after the fading car, and I knew I'd failed. There was nothing now but to call Sam and tell him who I'd seen running away from the killing. I was sure who it was. Adele's father, Andre Simino.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Cheeseburgers, egg burgers, sun burgers. Seems like everybody's inventing new ways to serve hamburgers. But as far as lots of folks are concerned, there's just one way to make them all taste their best. And that's to serve them with rich, extra lively Del Monte catsup.
Mmm, now you're talking, Larry, and talking flavor.
Yes, believe me, that Del Monte catsup has a special zip. A zesty kind of spiced tomato flavor that has just what it takes to put smacking good flavor into a hamburger or do justice to a steak.
Well, let me tell you, I certainly make it a point to keep Del Monte catsup in my house. I just can't afford to be without the lift it gives the low-cost foods that I serve so often. You know, Larry, there really is something different about Del Monte catsup.
You bet there is. You see, Del Monte catsup is the only catsup made with pineapple vinegar. And pineapple vinegar is a superfine, sparkling vinegar that coaxes out an extra measure of real, deep-down flavor from those plump, vine-ripened tomatoes Del Monte uses.
Yet for all its goodness, Del Monte catsup actually costs less than many other quality brands.
Now there's value for you. So make yours Del Monte catsup next time. You'll say you never enjoyed catsup so much. Now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Smokescreen.
I'd wanted was to find Andre Simino and keep him out of trouble. But I didn't make it. And it looked like he'd paid the cat in full for Adele's death. So my job was still to call Sam Sabaya and tell him to pick up Simino. Not for safecracking now, but for murder. I got my office door open, stepped over the cat's lifeless form, sprawled half inside and half out, and reached for the phone. Just then, the door for my cafe opened. There stood Constantine's red-headed secretary.
Forget about the lunch, Rocky.
Not in here, Doris, not now.
Oh, you mean we're not quite alone?
Just wait for me in the cafe, huh?
You shouldn't have done it, Rocky.
It was Simino's job. That's why I wanted to find him.
Poor fellow. And dressed so nicely.
Don't touch him, Doris. What's the matter with you? Keep away.
Very well, Rocky. Then you will find it for me.
Huh. Everybody carries a gun.
Search him quickly. Go through his pockets.
Sure. For anything in particular?
Only the key to his Fiat, nothing more. Get it?
Hmm? Yeah. Is this what you want?
Toss it over here on the floor. Thank you, Rocky. But don't try to follow me. You wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it at all.
She ducked out the open door, and I was on the phone dialing Sabaya. I got a quick answer, told him to get over to the tambourine on the double, and hung up. Then I ran to my car, spun out of the alley, and up to the main drag. I was in time. The little Fiat was speeding down the hill 3 blocks away. After a while, the car pulled up at a deserted spot near the river docks. She was outside opening the car trunk. She found nothing but kept hunting. Under the car seat, under the floorboards, under the hood. But still no luck. Finally, she gave it up in disgust, left the Fiat, and started walking toward the Nile Drive. When I saw her flag down a taxi, I turned to get back to my car and bumped right into a big, shiny badge.
You will come with me, Mr. Jordan, in my car.
Now, Greco, you're just in time. Get after that taxi. There's a girl in it that can tell you plenty.
Your feeble attempt at delay avails you nothing. The Captain Sabaya wishes to see you.
He can wait.
Enough, Mr. Jordan. The Captain Sabaya is most annoyed by your manner of hanging up the phone without explanations. Ah, it is an order.
All right, Greco, let's go.
And so there is violence and still more violence, Jordan, and always at your very door.
All right, Sam, you got the cat now. That's who you wanted.
You are telling me that the man murdered at your alley door is the cat? Of
course he is. He admitted killing Adele last night.
And who killed him, Jordan?
I wasn't looking.
Indeed. Of course it was him, you know. You will most certainly find him now.
Sure, you'll find him. A man sees his daughter cut down right in front of him. He can do nothing but square it, and then you get real busy.
Jordan, do not forget, retribution is a concern only for the...
All right, Sam. What would you have done? What could any man do?
My feelings are not important.
Well, what do you know about the cat?
Very little, except this bullet which we found in him.
32, huh?
Now, Jordan, why were you not at your cafe when I arrived?
I was tailing somebody else you'll want, Sam. A red-headed secretary named Doris. She works for Simino's old partner at the Bulak Shipping Company.
What has she to do with this?
Well, ask her. I'd have brought her in, only that's when our good friend Greco showed up.
Greco did only as he was ordered.
Yeah, sure. Look, Sam, Simino was once in prison for safecracking. Could that connect up with the big job at the Nile Investment Company last night?
Perhaps Simino himself will clear that up. When we find him.
Oh, all right, Sam, have your fun. Sam didn't stop me, and I went out. Pretty soon, Simino would be found, and that would be that. I tried to walk it off, but things wouldn't sit right. A lot of things. One was a redhead named Doris. I had to get her story. It was late evening when I got to the Bulak Shipping Company. The place was already closed. I'd just taken a hold of the doorknob when it happened. Shots were from inside the building. I twisted the knob without thinking, and the door came open. The outer room was empty, so I went on into the office. The first thing I saw was what had been Jay Constantine lying on the floor and slumped down in a nearby chair, gun still in his hand, was Andre Simino. Simino. Simino, what's the matter with you? Snap out of it.
Monsieur Jordan, when did you come?
Too late.
What do you mean? I cannot seem to remember. Something happened.
Take a look at Constantine. That'll help.
Then I did kill him, as I came to do.
Listen to me. Tell me why they were after you.
It does not matter now, monsieur.
Constantine was your partner. What else?
Yes, we were partners, but not here.
Then what then? Robbery? Safe cracking?
Yes. I had great skill with locks and nitroglycerin. Constantine did the planning, but finally I was caught in the act, convicted and sent to prison.
You do the work and take the rap.
When I got out of prison, it was my daughter who convinced me that I must not return to crime. And Constantine also seemed kind. He invited me to join him as a partner here in the shipping business. It was my chance to live a decent life.
Only what happened? Constantine have other ideas?
Yes, he suddenly announced to me that all plans had been made. I was to carry out his orders.
A safe-cracking job at the Nile Investment Company last night? Big haul of negotiable securities?
Yes, then, you know. Constantine was commanding. I did not know what to do. Again, my daughter Adele convinced me I must not do it. I called Constantine by telephone and tell him that. He was in great fury and said that if I would not do it, he would do it himself and leave evidence that I had been there.
And that's when you and Adele came running to my cafe.
But only to ask you to witness that I do not have a part in the robbery.
But Constantine had to get rid of you then. You knew too much.
That is why he sent the cat. Not to kill my daughter, monsieur. Me. To kill me. I only wish it had happened so.
You know what I have to do now? The police have got to know.
It does not matter now, monsieur.
First, you better hand me that gun.
Take it quickly and call the police.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hmm?
This the one you used?
Why, yes, of course. Is not Constantine dead?
No. There's no cordite smell in the gun, and none of the shells have been fired.
But, monsieur...
Besides, this is a .38. The bullet found on the cat was a .32.
How could that be? I went to kill him. You saw me. I do not remember, but how could it be otherwise?
I got a good idea, Simino. But right now, you're getting out of here. Hole up at the nearest hotel and stay there. I watched him as he went out and closed the door behind him. I held up a second, then I heard footsteps in the warehouse behind the office. A moment later, the door opened, and it was exactly who I expected.
Rocky.
You work nights around here too, Doris?
No, I just got here. What are you doing here?
I'll show you. Have a look, Doris.
I see. It's Constantine.
You don't seem very surprised.
Oh, it's just that... I don't know how I feel. Simino did it, of course.
Sure, who else?
What do you mean by that, Rocky?
Now, why did you come here tonight?
I just came back to get a few things I'd forgotten.
Same things you were after at my cafe when you grabbed the car key off the cat? The same things you were scratching for in the little car but didn't find? A stack of negotiable securities that Constantine hijacked from a safe at the Nile Investment Company?
You know a great deal, don't you, Rocky?
Not as much as you do, Doris. Come on, let's have it.
Rocky, I work for Constantine. I did only what he told me. I had to.
What'd he tell you?
Only that he'd given the securities to the cat to hide. He didn't trust the cat. I was sent to watch him. When I found him dead at your cafe, I had to get the securities. I was afraid.
Sure, you were real scared, weren't you? Tell me something. Where'd you meet up with a guy like Constantine?
One meets up with many people on the continent, Rocky.
Yeah, that's true.
I knew you'd believe me. I knew you would, Rocky.
Yes. Black smudge on your sleeve.
Why, mascara, I guess. It doesn't matter.
Not mascara. But we know what it is, don't we?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
But come on. Let's find out. I kept hold of her wrist and dragged her through the warehouse, out the back door, into an enclosed lot. And there it was, a big incinerator. We went to it. She stood there silently as I opened the metal door and reached inside. First thing my hand touched was what I wanted. Bulky envelopes. A lot of them.
You don't have to open them, Rocky. The securities are all there.
You're in a big hurry to hide them, weren't you? Soot on your sleeve shows that.
Does that make you feel very proud of yourself?
You couldn't have carried that smudge very long without noticing. Now, what happened? You heard me coming in the door. You hit him quick, figuring to come back and get him after I was gone. Did I leave out anything?
Just one thing.
Yeah?
That I have a gun. Rocky, no!
Can't do it twice, Doris.
No! Rocky, give it to me.
Answers too much. Yeah, 32, like the slug found in a cat. I figure the same will be found in Constantine. Sure, two shots gone.
Rocky, listen to me.
It looked easy, didn't it? All you had to do was get the cat and Constantine out of the way, and the securities were all yours. You knew Andre Simino, half-crazed with grief, was after them both. So you stayed with him. Only you fired the shots, not he.
but he didn't even realize that he was to take all the blame.
Rocky, listen. They're gone, both of them. We have securities now, you and I. No one has to know.
That's possible.
We could keep that lunch date. We could keep a lot of them.
Not for an awful long time, Doris.
But why?
Because you won't be around. Not after the police get through with you.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. As a mere man around the house, it's a little out of my line to tell anybody how to make a food budget behave. But I do know how many, many women insist that there's no help like Del Monte tomato sauce when it comes to making thrifty cooking good cooking.
Don't you be telling me about Del Monte tomato sauce, Larry. Why, my mother uses it, and so did her mother before her.
Well, why not? After all, Del Monte is the original tomato sauce. The way Del Monte combines those fine, ripe tomatoes and zesty spices is a special secret.
It must be. No other tomato sauce has ever matched Del Monte's flavor.
You know you can depend on it, too. That's extra important with tomato sauce, it seems to me, because you cook it in.
That's right. The tomato sauce represents only a fraction of the cost of your other ingredients, but its flavor can make or break your whole recipe. Now, Del Monte tomato sauce makes any dish a success, and no mistake.
Try it in your favorite stew or meatloaf recipe, friends. Taste for yourself why it always pays to get Del Monte tomato sauce. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, I walked Doris out of the Bulak Shipping Company building, put her in my car, and took her to the Cairo Police Headquarters. I gave Sam a quick rundown. He dispatched some boys to go for the body of Jay Constantine. Then I waited while Sam put Doris on the grill for a while. When he came out, he motioned to me.
Come with me, Jordan.
Oh, where are we going, Sam?
You will learn in good time. Come along now.
Okay, but let's have it, Sam. What did Doris tell you?
She confessed everything. There was little else she could do. Especially when we found that the shot that killed Constantine was also from her .32, her own gun.
It's easy to put together now. Constantine planned the safe-cracking job. When Andre Simonov backed out at the last minute, Constantine decided to go ahead with it. In the meantime, sending the cat to kill Simonov, who knew too much.
And that was when the unfortunate Adele brought her father to your cafe?
Yeah, only for my witnessing that Simonov wasn't at the scene of the robbery. The cat killed Adele by mistake, thanks to my help.
After that, things looked simple for this Doris woman. As Constantine's employee, she knew of the robbery. She had but to kill him and his assistant and get the stolen securities for herself.
All the time, the pressure would be on Simonov. Everybody knew he was out for revenge. Well, she had us fooled for a while.
Even Simonov was fooled. A man half crazed with grief and the thought of revenge, who did not even know that the shots were not from his own gun.
So, what about him now?
He has achieved no wrong. Surely his unhappiness for his daughter is enough for him to bear.
Thanks, Sam. Now, for the last time, where are we going?
For once, Jordan, I thought I would drive you home to your tambourine, where you belong.
Well, then hadn't you better turn around? You passed the place, 4 blocks back.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte catsup and chili sauce.
Del Monte tomato sauce and tomato juice.
And Del Monte whole peeled tomatoes.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Gomer Cole and Larry Roman, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jane Ovello as Sam Sabaya. This program is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arump. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is The Loomis Affair. Bring all the delicious flavor of tropical fruit to your table. Serve Del Monte Pineapple. Yes, as a refreshing dessert or as a perfect salad with the main course, you'll really enjoy the luscious tropic flavor of Del Monte Pineapple. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Glenhall Taylor's story of an FBI agent who almost loses his life in the line of duty. Larceny on the Lake. Starring Bob Crane. In the Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company and Lazy Boy Recliners. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Comparing the total cost of ownership is the only way to be sure you get your money's worth when buying a new car. And Ford says there are three important considerations that make up the total cost of ownership: purchase price, operating economy, and trade-in value. Don't overlook that last one, trade-in value. I'd like to give you some interesting facts about trade-in that are difficult for the average consumer to come by. Like the fact that based on a national average of NADA wholesale prices, both the 1973 Torino and the 1973 Gran Torino returned more of their original purchase price than their closest sales competition. The facts speak for themselves. A solid, well-made car will generally return more at trade-in. Ford says that's one of the reasons why Torino is the best-selling car in its class.
The closer you look, the better we look.
Among the several million people in the United States who have fingerprinted arrest records, hundreds possess exceptionally fertile imaginations and sharp cunning. They lay their plans as shrewdly and carefully as an army readies an offensive. Their scouts move out in front to seek vulnerable attack points. Scouts record the movements of a watchman. Scouts find the best escape routes, the locations of automatic alarms, and learn how they may be deactivated. Today's drama concerns such an operation and how its foe, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, meets the challenge. At an FBI field office in one of the Great Lakes cities, Agent Jim Snyder is reporting to Agent in Charge Medford.
Morning, Mr. Medford. I'm Jim Snyder.
Good morning, Snyder. Glad to have you with us.
When did you get in?
Landed at the airport half an hour ago. Well, sit down. I'll explain why we had you transferred to this office.
No, thank you.
We've had a lot of thefts along the lakefront lately. We're convinced it's the work of a well-organized gang.
Well, how come the thefts are under our jurisdiction?
Well, they weren't until last night's job, when they stole 10 shipping cartons of cameras belonging to the Army.
Any of the men identified?
No, the few times they've been seen, they wore masks.
How about the boat?
It's been described as a fishing boat. Now, we've checked all registrations. Nothing's turned up.
Wouldn't a fishing boat be a little slow for a getaway?
From the reports we've had, the boat apparently had a souped-up engine. It roared away from each job.
And no leads, huh?
Just one. The police checked on boats at every fishing village on the North Shore. One of the boats had been out each night that a dock had been raided. And on each of those nights, it had returned without any fish.
Any idea who owns the boat?
Yeah, a man called Slim Wilcox. He has a crew, and the captain is Peter Cassidy.
We know anything about him?
Well, we know that Wilcox and Cassidy have criminal records.
They've been brought in for questioning?
No. First of all, their boathouse isn't large enough to hold the loot, so there'd be no evidence. And what's more, they've been commercial fishermen for 15 years, so they can justify their boat and their business.
Can't the cameras be traced through their serial numbers?
A list of the numbers has been circulated, but it'll take time to get a feedback. We just got a break, which might help us crack the case sooner.
What's that?
This morning, on Route 53, a tank truck had a minor accident. The police picked up the driver and learned the tank was full of diesel oil consigned to Slim Wilcox.
Diesel oil? For the boat?
That's what we figured. We found the name of the man who sold the oil is Mac Franklin. We sent Wilcox a fake message from the driver of the truck saying the delivery would be delayed a couple of hours. And that brings us up to you, Snyder.
You want me to deliver the oil, is that it?
Yeah, if you volunteer, it's up to you.
I'll do it.
You sent for me, sir?
Yeah, come in. Gene Douglas, meet Jim Snyder.
How are you?
Come on. Chair, Gene. I've just been briefing Snyder on these pier jobs.
Oh, good. I take it Slim Wilcox has never seen the driver of the tank truck.
No. Apparently, the Franklin guy hires drivers on a one-shot basis. He gives each one a stolen truck. When the oil's been delivered, the driver ditches the truck. Now then, when you deliver the oil, I want you to find some way to wangle yourself into the Wilcox organization.
Yes, sir.
We'll get you some old clothes and arrange to have you pick up the truck.
What's the name of the truck driver you picked up?
Danny Gray.
Where do I find Wilcox?
He's in a little place called Jamestown.
Gene Douglas here has gotten a job as a clerk in a tobacco shop up there. You'll communicate with our office through him.
Fair enough.
And don't show any surprise when you walk into the store. The cigarette stand for three or four hotels up there, as well as the tobacco shop I'll be in, still give customers a chance to win their cigars and cigarettes with a roll of the dice.
You mean they're still playing the old 26 game? Complete with a green felt board and a leather cup?
Right.
Someone said the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's been a long time since I played.
We'll both get a chance to brush up on the game, if we can keep from being shot at.
Come in.
Hi.
Hi.
Just got a call from Centerville. The truck got through okay. The fence offered $8,500 for the cameras.
That's not enough. Anything else?
Yeah. Buck told me to tell you there's a guy outside with a tank truck of diesel oil.
Good. That'll be the stuff from Mac Franklin. I'll go talk to him. And, Harry, get Centerville on a horn and tell him we want 10 G's for the cameras.
Okay, Slim, will do.
Hey, you the oil guy?
Yeah.
Where's the truck?
Over by the tanks. I'm Danny Gray. You Slim Wilcox?
Yeah.
The tanks are locked. I can't unload them.
I'll unlock them.
No.
Come on.
Thank you.
Is it top-grade stuff?
I don't know. I didn't heist it.
You tell Franklin we had trouble with the last load.
No, I won't be seeing him.
How come?
This is a one-way haul. After I unload here, I ditch the truck. You know anybody who needs it?
No.
You know where a guy could catch on?
No, why?
I got in a crap game on the way down here. Got clean.
Oh, that's too bad. There. Both tanks are open. There's a double saw buck. Should get you out of town.
Hey, look, I don't want no handout.
Well, you pay me back sometime. When you get the oil unloaded, call Buck. He'll unlock the gate and let you out.
Thanks.
This is Jim Backus with news about the most comfortable experience of a lifetime, a Lazy Boy reclining chair. It's ideal for apartments, living rooms, dens, family rooms. Lazy Boy is as beautiful as it is comfortable. Available in any style you can imagine and in hundreds of decorator fabrics and vinyls. Make your favorite room a haven of gracious living. See your Lazy Boy dealer today.
Hurry up. He's waiting. Run down there. Go. Yes, indeed.
You've been hearing some pretty lavish claims recently about miles per gallon. We'd like you to consider something equally important, and that's range. Range is the miles per gallon multiplied by the number of gallons your car's tank holds. Range is what makes the Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
The greatest nation on earth. But as our country continues to grow, it must face the problems of expansion, such as the now ominous shortages of fuel and energy. There are ways you can help conserve these vital resources. Reduce thermostat settings by 2 or 3 degrees. Shut off lights and heat in rooms not in use. And reduce the consumption of electricity in late afternoon or evening. Remember, in conserving fuel and energy, you help yourself and your community. This public service message is presented by the President's Office of Emergency Preparedness and the Office of Consumer Affairs.
Good evening, sir. May I help you?
A package of pipe cleaners, please.
Here's some right here. Watch it, Jim. There's a guy in the phone booth in back of you to the right.
How much are these?
37 cents with tax. Like to roll for them?
Yeah, sure.
Costs a dime a line. What number do you want? Sixes. Three on one. That's five on two. Yeah, the guy left. How'd you make out, Jim?
Well, I delivered the oil, but didn't get a job. However, one of Slim's men said they're getting ready for another heist.
When?
Tonight, I think.
Did you see any trace of the loot?
No, and I couldn't spot any place where they might be keeping it.
Well, if they're working tonight, we better put stage two into operation. Customer coming in. Well, that beats you, bud. Pay up.
Shove off.
Okay.
Harry?
Yeah, what is it, Slim?
What about the truck?
We're all set.
You got it straight where we make the meet?
Williamstown Bridge.
Right. You'll be there at 11:30. If we don't show in half an hour, just pull away.
Gotcha.
Hey! Hey, you guys!
Who's that? I can't see in the dark over there.
It's that guy that delivered the oil. He's outside the gate.
What you want?
I gotta talk to you. It's important.
Let's go see what he wants. I don't like him hanging around here.
Yeah. Okay, you. What's so important?
Look, I just got a tip. They're going to knock you guys off tonight.
How did you get a tip like that?
Who says we're going to get knocked off? I ran into an old buddy. He's got a pipeline to a pal on the force. He says the cops are out in the breakwater right now. They're going to search every fishing boat as it passes through.
How come you make me such a partner?
I figure I owed you after you staked me to that double sawbuck.
Hey, Slim!
Yeah?
There was a phone call just now from Big Joe. He asked, is Slim gone yet? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, if he ain't, stop him. And I said, why? He said, the cops are out at the breakwater. And then
We know already.
And then he said, well, when they get through out there, they're going to case every boathouse on its shore.
What are they going to case the boathouse for?
Well, Big Joe said, for fishing boats with diesel engines in them. And I said, like ours? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what should we do? And he said, well, we...
Okay, we know what to do.
Harry, go cut the motor.
Cassidy?
Yeah?
Go get Al. Tell him I want the motor taken out of that boat, like, right now.
Well, Al ain't around, Slim. He's out heisting a car for us to use tonight.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. This is a lousy break.
You need some help?
Yeah, we need plenty.
I can get the motor out for you.
A big diesel?
Sure, I did the same job 2 years ago in Detroit. Took the whole thing out in less than an hour.
Okay, mister, you get a C if you can do it, like, right now.
$100 doesn't interest me.
Now, what does?
I told you this afternoon, a job.
You get that motor out clean, on time, you got one.
Put me through to Agent Medford, please. Hello, this is Gene Douglas. I'm in a phone booth. Thought it safer than putting the call through the switchboard in that two-bit hotel I'm living in.
Yeah. Snyder got the job. He contacted me this afternoon. He reports to Slim Wilcox every morning, hangs around the boathouse till about 3, then is dismissed. Well, they replaced the diesel in the boat, but there's no action yet. He did run into a piece of luck, though. Overheard one of the mobs say that a truck took the loot to Centerville. It ties in with the raid the Centerville police made this morning. They arrested a fence and found the cameras that were stolen from the government. No, the Wilcox mob isn't implicated yet. The fence wouldn't talk. That's right. Well, we'll keep on it. I'll get back with the report as soon as there's any action. Yes, sir. Goodbye. Anything else, sir?
Oh, that'll do it for today.
59 cents, please. Out of $1. 60, 70, 75, and $1. Thank you, sir.
I'm sure getting tired of playing 26, but I must admit shaking dice gives me something to do while I'm waiting for your customers to leave. Look, I better talk fast while I have the chance.
New developments?
Plenty. There's action tonight. I report back at 8. They're using the boat.
Are you in on it?
No. They put me on the unloading assignment.
Where?
That's the catch. I only know I'm being driven there.
Is stage 3 in operation?
No, but it will be. Are you set up?
As soon as we hear from you, we'll be ready.
And warn everybody on the team. They've got a regular arsenal of stolen weapons aboard that boat. Enough for a small army.
That figures. Be extra careful, Jim, whatever else you do. We'll do all we can to protect you.
Thanks. Oh, no. Not another interruption. Okay. Give me the dice cup.
Looking back, State Farm was built on low rates.
State Farm agent Gabe Franco talks about saving on car insurance.
For the energy crisis, most individuals are interested in saving that buck. Consider, as you think about paying those low rates, you might come up with that extra buck to buy that extra gallon of gas. With low rates, it may make your money go a lot further.
And like a good neighbor.
I'm Jim Backus with news about an exciting sale taking place at your Lazy Boy dealers today. You may now put a famous Lazy Boy reclining chair into your living room at unbelievable savings. The ultimate in beauty and comfort can be yours in the style of your choice to match your favorite decor. Don't just sit, relax, and recline sumptuously in a Lazy Boy. Your choice of quality colors and fabrics. See your Lazy Boy dealer today. Do that. Hey, hurry up. He's waiting. Yes, he is.
A message from the Council for Financial Aid to Education and this station. College students now march to a different drummer, and sometimes it seems to no drummer at all. But what matters most is that colleges continue educating. Students and their parents pay tuitions to make this possible, but the money they pay just doesn't go far enough. Two-thirds of college costs must come from other sources, including contributions from friends of colleges. How can you be the friend of a college? You can believe that educating young people is the main thing, not whether they're singing football songs or folk songs. You can be willing to back up your belief with a gift, because colleges need money to march ahead. A lot of that money must come from people like you. Give to the college of your choice, now.
Hi. Hey, no, right against the wall. Hey, that makes it an even dollar you owe me, Danny.
I'm out of practice. Haven't tossed quarters since I left Vietnam. Hey, what's this?
Okay. Hey, that's pretty good. But I think I could beat that one, too.
You're slipping, Buck. Just cut my IOU back to 75 cents. Hey, it's almost 10 o'clock. When do we leave?
Whenever Harry says. He's going to drive us out to meet the boat. We're going to use the car that Al heisted. Hey! Hey! Let's see you beat that one. Oh, hiya, Harry. We going to leave? Oh, not just yet. And you, Danny Gray, or whatever your name is, keep your hands out of your pockets.
What do you mean?
Well, what's with the gun, Harry?
Ask him. He should know.
Mac Franklin, the fellow we bought the oil from? Well, he called to make sure it had been delivered okay. He described the driver he hired. I'll tell you something, it sure ain't this guy.
Are you sure, Harry?
Of course I'm sure. Hey,
what's all this about?
You know what it's about, you fink. Now turn around. Hey, who opened that window?
He did. Said the boathouse air was too stinky with the diesel fumes.
Close it and lock it.
Okay.
All right, now give me a hand. Get him out to the car. We'll take him with us to meet the boat at Crawford's Point.
Okay, Cassidy. Back it up a little. All right, just a hair more. Okay, now you got it. Hey, Mike, you get up there with a line and make it fast.
Right.
Okay, Cassidy, cut the motor. All right, the rest of you guys, start unloading.
Slim, everything okay?
Yeah, what?
Now, that guy Grace, a fink. We got a call from Mac Franklin. He blew the whistle on him. Mac told me what his driver looked like. I gotta tell you, this guy ain't even close.
Is he a copper from that Canadian mob?
I don't know. Ain't nothing in his pockets to tell by.
Where is he now?
In the car. I got him all tied up. Al and Buck are watching him. He's still out cold from me conking him.
Bring him over here and put him in a boat. When we get out to the deep water again, we're gonna lose him.
Okay, Slim.
And if he looks like he's gonna come too, hock him again.
Right.
Hey, what's Slim say, Harry?
When we head back to that boathouse, we're gonna deep six this guy. All right, now, help me get him out of here.
Yeah.
Stand where you are, all of you. This is the FBI.
What?
Hands up, everybody.
Oh, no.
Turn on the floodlights, men. Cover the deck and the boat. And you two. Put that man down gently and untie his wrists.
No.
You okay, Jim?
Whew. Hey, that was a real skull popper. Oh, boy. Hey, am I glad to see you guys.
I knew you were a think, Gray, but...
Special Agent Snyder to you.
I didn't guess you were FBI. How'd you know where we were meeting that boat, anyway?
I needed that fresh air even more than I realized at the time.
What's he talking about?
We had a microphone outside the boathouse window. I put it there when I opened it. Agent Douglas picked up the information on his receiver at the tobacco shop and relayed it to Medford at the field office.
Hey, but you said the air in the boathouse stank.
Yeah, it did stink in there, Buck. It sure did. But I think it's a lot cleaner now.
Look, you don't have to sell me on them. I know all about them.
You know everything about these Ford pickups I'm selling?
Sure. I know about Ford's twin I-beam front suspension.
Uh-huh.
I know you get front disc brakes, standard.
But do you know we give you a choice of an economical 6 or one of 3 V8s?
Sure.
You know about Ford's all-new Super Cab? The only two-door pickup with the extra room for a full back seat?
Super Cab?
Ford's Super Cab pickup. It seats a family of 6 in sedan-like comfort.
I didn't know that.
Or did you know that Super Cab's optional full-width rear seat folds flat to make a load floor?
Yeah?
Or that you can get optional facing jump seats that fold out of the way? Or with no rear seats at all, you get a full 44 cubic feet of extra storage space?
I didn't know that either.
That's it. Ford's new Super Cab. Like all Ford pickups, it works like a truck, rides like a car.
That I knew.
Ford's new Super Cab. It's news even to people who thought they knew all about Ford pickups. See it now at your local Ford dealer.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes, exercise your imagination, and join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
On the Lake was adapted for radio by Glenn Hall Taylor. Bob Crane was heard as Jim Snyder. Featured in the cast were Marvin Miller, Mike Rye, Jerry Dexter, and Herb Ellis. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Colas, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman. Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find more from Rocky Jordan and the Zero Hour once everything is restored on the website. But until then, if you want more, Our Shoutcast stream is up and running. That still works. You can find the stream on the website. And while you're there, if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, click on that donate link. Your support is how all of this is made possible. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Be back tomorrow with Case Closed, and next Tuesday with our next episode of the Relic Radio Show.